This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And you guys are awesome. We have four lines jammed up, so we don't have to talk about our kids. And everyone will probably appreciate that. And let's get right to your calls. You've been great this morning. Let's go to Paul in Litchfield first. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning. I took your advice. And I have Proton Mail.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I love it. Matter of fact, based on an email I just got this morning, I just upgraded to a paid account because it appears that Proton is going they appear to be going after some company by the name of Google. they're talking about having a calendar app, which is, based on what I've seen, is a lot more functional. And, of course, they have the VPN service available and all other fun stuff.
Right.
But going even further down the list, like I said, they're going after Google. They have been contacted by the Congress, United States Congress, as well as the European Union, for their view on big tech and the tax on online privacy.
Right.
Yeah. And they're talking about Apple and Google and the anti-competitive processes and the whole bit.
Good.
And, you know, they've got a couple links in the email to the whole thing, but this is a whole lot worse than many of us realize. I mean, you know, you start thinking about it, you know, we're so used to putting in all sorts of information.
Right.
I got a phishing email the other day, and they said, hey, you know, thank you very much, blah, blah, blah. This is the following information we need you to provide for us so we can move forward with this.
Right.
And they asked, you know, what is my mother's maiden name?
Right.
What is my pet's name?
Yeah. That people put this in Facebook all the time. These are all these crazy Facebook questions. You know, what month are you? What vegetable are you? And all these crazy things. And people put all this information in. What was your first car? All that is security questions. And people put it in Facebook like crazy. We're a bunch of ding-a-lings. And our technology is spying on us, and eventually there are going to be companies like Proton that come out that really focus on privacy. Like even Apple, we gave credit to last week, they are blocking or anonymizing your use on a Apple phone when you're on Facebook. So now, of course, the folks that advertise on Facebook that want to know exactly that you're a 50-year-old man, you're living in New England, you know, they want to know all this stuff, is being blocked thanks to Apple right now, and so their advertising is not as effective, and we give it away. We've been giving it away since geeks figured out if they give it to you for free, you'll give them much more. So Proton is definitely a step in the right direction. Yeah. Again, they're run by a MIT Swiss type company. We assume they're completely benevolent. Who knows?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, like I said, the whole thing is that you can literally secure everything. I mean,
yes.
Your calendar on Google is available to anybody in the world.
It feels like it is, yes.
Well, it probably is. I mean, I know I don't have the technology or the smarts to figure it out, but I'm sure that somebody sitting at Tab Computer, if a couple of you guys got together over a couple, you know, over a latte or something, could figure it out.
We don't do latte. We do real coffee. Come on. Latte.
But, no. Yeah, but just stupid things like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you. I don't really trust the cloud.
No.
What got me is that they're currently in development. Proton is in development for a cloud service that is encrypted.
Correct. So, yes, the data will be encrypted on their servers so that nobody can see what the data is if they get breached. And there's tons of cloud services out there these days that are they're being breached constantly. So our data is just strewn about
like
the internet. Hmm?
You mean like Google?
I'm sure we could find examples of Google breaches on the cloud. However, a lot of the security that Google uses is Titan keys for two-factor authentication. So it's been pretty difficult to breach Google because they use a physical 2FA device, which we've talked about, like Yubico keys and Titan keys to keep security down. But if you remember the Elon Musk story that we had last week where their internal guy was offered $1 million by a Russian national to load software on their systems, that can't be too far off. And if you think about Twitter, how Twitter was recently hacked, all those very powerful accounts were hacked, from the president to Bill Gates to Twitter itself. The bad guys just tricked the Twitter people into giving them access to tools that you would never have guessed even existed, allowing people who worked at Twitter to be able to convert the account itself into being under control by someone other than the owner. So if you've got a cloud account and you think you're the one in control, I got another thing to tell you, because you're not. And that Twitter scenario should give you pause, because you think you're going to go ahead and tweet as you, and somebody internally then tweets out whatever they want as you. That's got to be chilling. And that tool shouldn't exist. I mean, that tool shouldn't exist. Twitter should be only able to turn on or turn off your account, not be able to impersonate you and put in whatever you want using their internal tools. So the cloud is a... It's an issue. It's a big issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ad you guys run for one of your clients where their whole cloud account vanished.
Correct. So, yeah, we've run some ads about it as a company whose cloud service, they basically were held hostage. So the another IT company took and put their systems in the cloud, and it didn't work. It was awful, very poor performance. The client was not going to pay them for the poor service, but the IT company says, well, we're not going to give you your data back until you pay for it. So they held them hostage. And that's another issue, right? So if you put your stuff in the cloud, if you think about right now, you know, if you don't pay your taxes or you don't pay your water bill, they just turn it off, right? Your connection to the cloud, which in this case water, they just turn the spigot. No water for you. So what happens if you have a dispute with your cloud provider that happens to run your company, and you know, a lot of people don't pay their bill to get action, right? I mean, it may not be the best approach, but a lot of people do that. If you don't pay your cloud provider for access to your data, how do you run your company?
Exactly.
You're stuck. You're totally stuck. So when you have a local server, you have local control. They can't do anything about you, and you can have your dispute and continue to operate and not have to worry about them damaging your ability to go to market by turning off that spigot to your own data. And they probably have in their URL, their EULA's agreement saying, look, they're not even responsible for any hacks or anything anyways. You are. So along with putting it in the cloud, you're still responsible for what happens to it in the cloud, and you have no control of it in the cloud. So keep that in mind.
Exactly. Well, I just want to say thank you very much for telling me about Proton.
I'm glad you like it. Yeah, I think it's a good alternative, and it's a good secure email service, and it's going to be there for you rather than having something like Hotmail or Gmail or whatever just go away. That free service, they don't have any loyalty to you. If it goes away, it goes away.
And it comes with free VPN, too.
Yep, even better.
All right. That's enough commercials. Have a good day, guys.
All right, Paul.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. It's not really a commercial. It's just a service. You know, you guys need to know about these things that are out there. So Doug in Brantford, we're going to get to you after a quick break. So hang on there, buddy. I'm giving you a heads up. So when we come back for you after the break, you'll be there. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Get into your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go to Doug in Brantford, like I promised, next. Hey, Doug.
Hello?
Hey, good morning. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What can we do for you, sir?
I'm sorry, what?
What can we do for you?
I have a couple questions, one on computers and one on cell phone. But, you know, with the TikTok, I advise you to really go online and look at Google iPhones and TikTok, and you'll understand why it's being banned this month.
Oh, I'm totally understand why it's being banned. I'm totally for it, and I've been warning my kids forever. Yeah, don't have to worry about me. I understand why it's being banned.
It's scary. It's a state law in China. But anyway, it doesn't matter with the computer if it's a PC or not. Why, when they sell you a computer, you own it, is there administrative password to get into the computer?
Why is there?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I own the computer. Why do I need a password to get into the computer to do administrative functions?
Well, because you can have additional users that you can configure to share that computer.
Okay, but it's administrative.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can give people less or lowered credentials to not have administrator access. So you could have your wife access it, your son, your daughter.
When the computer is built and the operating system is loaded for the first time, it automatically, by default, creates an administrator account. Mm-hmm. Without that administrator account, you could not configure anything on the computer. So they have to have an administrator account. And the reason it has to have a password, has to have a password to protect that computer from being hacked by other people.
Right.
So, you know, then the initial administrator on that computer can configure anything on that computer. So then it can create additional user accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And the user accounts are designed with less administrative
right.
permissions,
mm-hmm.
so that they can't make changes to the computer that's basically going to break it. So when you first get your computer, you log into the administrator account. The first thing you should do is change the password to something that only you know, and then create a user account for everybody that's going to use that computer with different mm-hmm. passwords.
Right. It's the same thing as to why your car has keys.
Oh, okay. Cell phone.
Yeah.
First of all, there are apps that are on the phone that it doesn't give the ability to, it's an Android.
Yep.
It does not give the ability to delete these apps. Like YouTube is on my cell phone. I want to delete it. I've disabled it, but I like to, you know, just get rid of it.
Right.
How do I get rid of apps like that?
So sometimes that's hard because Google owns YouTube.
Yeah.
So if it's a Google service or Google phone, they can say this is a required app on my phone. Just like Samsung can force you to have apps on your tablet or what have you. They force it as part of the operating system, as part of the understanding you make when you purchase the device that these companies can do what they want to do, which, again, is wrong. I mean, you should be able to take off any software you want. But mm-hmm. Google's going to... This goes way back to when Microsoft was being sued for their browser. They were being told that their browser was an integral part of the operating system. And this is 25 years ago we were fighting over this. And Microsoft, you know, the big antitrust case there... they were able to say, no, it's integral and we can leave it on there. So now every couple of weeks or days or what have you, your operating system says, are you sure you want to have Chrome as your default browser? I really would like to be your default browser, says Microsoft's Edge. Mm-hmm. And they're battling for your eyeballs on your own device that you purchased.
Yeah, it's just annoying when it keeps popping up.
I hear you.
The other thing is that, you know, on a phone and when you text message, mm-hmm. and you have the ability to put these little these videos in,
yeah.
your text message.
Yeah.
Is there a way to delete some of those?
When somebody sends them to you?
No, on your that are on your phone.
I've never tried.
You never tried?
No, I've never tried. Why do you want to do that? I'm just curious.
I just don't like some of them, and I don't want them taking up storage on the phone. So I just like to delete them.
I wonder if there are even, to be honest with you, I never really considered whether or not they were actually on the phone or not. They may not be actually on the phone. I'll have to go find that out. I've never tried to do that. And if I had to guess, you probably can't delete them. But I will find out for you because I am curious about that. It's a good question because some of them are completely raunchy.
There's a couple titles that I just, you know, headings that I just don't want on the phone at all.
I understand. Yeah, you don't want it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll find out for you. I don't know that it can be, but again, these companies, they do what they want with their systems.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if there was a way you could hook it up to your computer and then, you know, go through. It's kind of hard because I think they're blocked or something that in terms of going through files on the computer that are on your phone.
Correct, because it's an operating system as well. So there are areas that are going to be protected that can't be modified because that's the function of the operating system and the company that provided to you, whether it be Apple or Android or Huawei.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find the answer for you, Doug, on the question on deleting those little videos that you can put into text. We'll find out if that's doable.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much, and have a good day.
You too, Doug.
Enjoy the holiday.
Yep, we will. You too. All right, so we're going to step out for a quick break, or no? Actually, we're going to continue because we already did our break. That was Doug coming back from the break. Let's go on. I don't know what I'm thinking this morning. Let's go over to Hank in Enfield next. What's going on, Hank? You there, Hank?
Yes. Good morning. Hi. You have to bear with me a little bit. I have to use hearing aids. I have a question for you. I have a new desktop Hewlett Packard that I bought last December, and everything was working fine with my Windows 10 here.
Yeah.
Until Hewlett Packard went and did a BIOS upgrade here about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I always used to log on with a PIN number. And then after it went through the process and it did the upgrade, when I went to log on with the PIN, it came up with a message that said to me, your PIN is no longer available due to a change in the security settings of this device.
Right.
And so it doesn't tell you what I changed.
The whole BIOS. You changed the whole BIOS, which is the brain of the motherboard.
Right. Okay. But then it gives me an option at the bottom of it. It's got an option that I can reset it. It says, click to set up your PIN again. And then when I go into that, it goes into a Microsoft welcome and all this other stuff, and it comes back with a message that says, well, first it tells me to enter my password. Now, everything is working fine with my password. Everything, I can get on the system with the password and everything. But when I go to do that upgrade to the to get use the PIN again, it comes up and it tells me to, you know, enter the password to get into a message from Microsoft that tells me to, that they sent me a security code that I have to enter.
Well, that's another issue.
I go to get my security code, and when I go to put it in, though, it won't allow me to put it in. It's, you know, the blinker, the cursor keeps blinking, but when I enter the numbers, it doesn't take the numbers.
Yeah, so that's,
I can't get past that.
Yeah, you've got two problems, Hank.
Yes.
You would had a PIN on your BIOS that you would put in before you got to your operating system, right?
Yes, correct. When I set it up, yes.
Yep. So then you updated your BIOS, and that PIN changed. Secondarily, Microsoft is sending you a two-factor authentication on your Microsoft side. So that PIN is a different PIN that they want you to enter in your two-factor authentication for the Microsoft side of the equation. So it's a little bit screwed up on both sides here for you. We're coming up against a hard break. Can I bring you back up after the break?
Okay, sure.
All right, so we'll continue on with Hank, and feel free to get online, guys. A couple lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. And we were on with Hank, who, are you still there, Hank?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
So you had updated your BIOS, and you did have a PIN that you were putting in. Now, so I'm angling to there's two pins you could be dealing with. This could be a Windows 10 pin, which is a pin you'd put in prior to the Windows 10 operating system opening up, but it's still a Microsoft.
That's the one. You know, when I turned on the system in the morning, to go on the computer, that's when I entered the pin.
Well, right. So the problem, though, is I'm trying to discern whether it's a hardware pin, because you can actually set up a password on your BIOS before the operating system boots, but you told me you updated your BIOS, and all of a sudden this went haywire on you.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, you know, I got the message from Hewlett Packard that five weeks ago said to update my BIOS, and that's what I did. And then after this is when the problem started.
Right. So I'm thinking it's a BIOS problem, but it could be a Microsoft problem. So we're going to put a link for how to change your Microsoft PIN. There's about five settings you can do to go through and deal with to see if that's your problem.
Okay.
If it's a BIOS PIN issue, that would be based on the BIOS itself.
It sounds like when the BIOS was overwritten, it erased your PIN.
That's what I'm assuming.
And so the default action is to not ask you for a PIN, so you might have to go into the BIOS and configure a new PIN or your old PIN, whatever, so that it asks you for the PIN before it gets to the operating system.
If that's what happens. So you'd have to remember whether or not this is a hardware PIN, meaning don't boot up the machine until I've got my hardware PIN. And a lot of that's based on encryption and what you might do for the system to get it protected before you go into the operating system. Or there is a Windows 10 PIN, which could be your issue, and it's just coincidence that it happened after your BIOS update. And we'll post a link to going through those steps on the Windows 10 PIN, because part of me thinks it's that for you.
Okay.
Basically, it goes through the very, very five real simple steps for you to go ahead and configure your PIN. And why Microsoft lost it is beyond me. You'll have to try to follow this.
It looks like Microsoft is willing to change it, but when it puts up and it tells me to enter the code so that it can continue, when I go to enter the code, it doesn't allow me to put any numbers in. You know, the cursor just keeps flashing, and I try to enter the code that they send me, and it doesn't go in. It just stays there, you know, as if I was doing nothing.
Do you have a full-size keyboard with a pin pad over off on the right side?
Do I have a full-size keyboard?
Yes.
Yeah, with a number pad to your right.
Yes, yes.
Okay. When you're booting up, does the NumLock light come on?
Well, the numbers are always locked on, I guess. I don't watch it when I boot up. I mean, I always use the number pad on the right-hand side, usually, instead of the numbers on top.
Okay. Right. So you got to check and see if that NumLock light is on, because the BIOS might have changed it so that the numbers NumLock doesn't come on, and so it's not putting anything in when you hit those keys. So what you could do is you could try the keys on the top of the keyboard instead and see if that works.
Okay, try that. Okay.
Yeah.
But what's that link that you were telling me, that if in case this doesn't work?
Yep, it's going to be at computertalkwithtab.com. Go to our show page, and the link will be there. It'll say how to change PIN.
How to change PIN. Okay.
Yeah, for your, this is for a Windows 10 PIN change. So
I just that'll be on one of my the menus in there, how to change PIN.
Yep. It'll be there on computertalkwithtab.com if you go to the live links.
Okay.
That link should be there. Mike G will post it for you.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, hopefully we'll figure out which PIN it is. That's the problem.
You know, the weird part about this is I have no problem if I log on with my password. Everything's working fine. It's just that I can't get back to the PIN.
You can't get back to the PIN, and my question is it a BIOS PIN or is it a Windows PIN?
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not sure you know.
I didn't know that there were two different ones, you know, because...
Yeah, you can configure it. I don't know what you configured.
When I installed the Windows, it's asked you if you want to use PIN, and that's when I entered the PIN.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a Windows PIN then.
Okay. And then when they did the BIOS update, did they erase the Windows, the Microsoft PIN or something, you think?
I don't. I just think it's coincidental, but
okay.
It led me down a path to think you had a BIOS password.
Yeah, because when they put that message up there that says, you know, it was due to a change in the security settings, I was trying to figure out. I didn't make any change, so something must have changed. And I don't even know what security setting they changed.
No kidding. I know. That's the level of that we deal with Microsoft.
Yeah.
It could have been just a reboot that occurred. They finally applied the changes to your operating system while your BIOS change was done, just because you're rebooted. And coincidentally, Microsoft had an issue that occurred at the same time. That happens all the time with computers. There is updates that occur or are fully applied after a reboot.
Okay.
And obviously a BIOS would require a reboot.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try the numbers at the top because, I've always used the numbers on the side in the past. Last 5 weeks, I've still been using the number pad on the right-hand side, and they've been working fine. So
okay.
I'll try the numbers at the top, and then if that doesn't work, I'll go to your site and see if I can get this message through the changing PIN option.
Yeah, I think that'll probably solve it for you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help anyhow.
Well, good luck.
You take care. Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye, Hank. That's always the big worry when you do an update on your system is what's going to break. We recommend you do this upgrade. You may not be able to use your computer afterwards, but we recommend you do this upgrade. All right, let's move on to Steve in Woodbury next. What's going on, Steve?
Yes, good morning, Eric.
Morning.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have an HP Slimline, and I'm using Windows 10. And I'm finding that the system seems to be dragging quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also finding that my download speeds have dropped down to a crawl. And I've checked it with speed test on both Firefox and Chrome. But
right.
When I try using my iPad in the same location, it runs considerably faster. So I was wondering if you guys could give me any insight into that.
Okay, so what is your internet speed supposed to be?
Around 50. But
okay.
I'm also using a Wi-Fi extender because of the way my house is configured. So I'm not looking to get 50, but my iPad runs around 25 or so, which it seems to be more than enough.
Okay.
But what I'm getting from Firefox and Chrome is like 5.
Are you using 5G or 2.4?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. The signal. Your audio is a little low.
So, I got him cranked. I can't help it. We've tried with Bob. We don't know.
Are you on 5G or 2.4?
2.4.
On both devices?
Yeah.
All right. You should be getting the same exact speed then if they're both on the 2.4 SSID. Being massively slower on the computer is probably just I assume you sit down with your iPad right there in the same location as the computer to get the test correct, right?
Correct.
So both the computers are wireless, I assume.
Yeah.
Both of them are wireless, and I'm using the iPad right in front of the desktop, and it's getting 5 times the speed.
Yep.
There are also other things. Every once in a while, the other programs on the computer do seem to kind of start to slow down, but it's mostly noticeable with the browsers.
So you could have malware running on your Windows 10 machine that's slowing you down. Have you run Malwarebytes to see if there's anything on there?
Yes, I have Malwarebytes, and I have OpenDNS and WebRoot, and I use them periodically, and they haven't come up with anything.
Okay, then, so your computer is probably clean, but you're having a problem with your Wi-Fi. I'm guessing it's your Wi-Fi adapter, which is built into the computer, that little slimline computer.
Yes.
My suggestion would be to go to like a Staples or a Best Buy and pick up a USB wireless adapter that you'll then try it to connect to your wireless service, because it could just be your network card in your computer is not very good or failing or not working really well.
How much RAM do you have on your computer?
8 gig.
8 gig is
plenty. Should be fine.
Yeah. So I think it's your network card based on what you've told me so far. So go out and get a USB wireless adapter that you can plug into the side of the computer, configure it via 5G or 2.4, and see if it improves your performance. Because nothing else for us to have you try. We are assuming you have no malware, and we already know that your iPad works in the same location at the higher speed. So it's got to be your network interface card that is the issue, if logic would dictate. It may not be, but it's worth trying. It's an inexpensive try. It's like $35 for these wireless USB network cards. So if you go to Staples or something like that, they should be able to tell you and get you one.
Okay. All right. So that would be the next thing to try then.
Yeah, I think that's the next thing to try. The other alternative is, instead of using an extender, consider getting a device that actually runs over your power lines, where you would plug a transmitter near your actual router that would then broadcast the network signal over your power, your internal wiring of your house, to the outlet where your computer is, and then you'd connect it via an Ethernet cable. And that might give you a better connection as well.
So I've seen devices like that, but I kind of always assume they wouldn't work very well. You're saying there are brands that do work well?
Yeah, they have improved that tremendously. We can probably find some examples for you and post them on computertalkwithtab.com as alternatives to trying to run an extender. Extenders are really not very good. They find the signal in your house and then try to rebroadcast it. They're never that good. Either do what I just suggested, the power over Ethernet type of, well, the Ethernet over power is kind of what it's like. And if that doesn't work, you would want to consider getting another access point in your home and having somebody run an Ethernet line up to your, whatever you're trying to do up where this computer is, and put an access point there that's truly an access point.
Okay.
It's a common issue.
Yeah, I am using the extender because it's my access point is all the way at the opposite end of the house, which is a considerable distance.
Yeah.
I kind of never had much faith in this power line stuff, but I haven't really looked at it in a long time. So
yeah, take a look at it. We'll put some links up there to some highly rated ones for you, so you can see something worth trying. It's not; those aren't too expensive either. What are you seeing, Bob, for cost?
Well, I what I'm seeing is anywhere from like $40 to $110.
Yeah.
Okay, that's doable.
Sure.
Okay, can I ask you one? Can I mention one more small item?
Yeah, really quick. We have to go to break soon.
The lady who was having the problems with eBay, I had similar problems, and if she tries going to her tracking protection page and switching from strict or custom to standard, it worked for me. It brought the page back.
Gotcha. So because you were blocking tracking, the eBay folks might have given you a poorer presentation of their site. That could work. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Doug and Ron, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11. We'll be right back. Well, I think we're back. I think we are. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We're going to go right to your calls because you were nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Doug in New Britain first. What's going on, Doug? Doug, you there? Uh-oh.
You there?
Hey, there you are, Doug. What can I do for you, sir?
No, I can hear you. A VPN.
Yeah.
Configured through your router. Is that the best way to do it, opposed to just putting it on one computer?
So it depends on what you're trying to do. This is a complicated question sometimes for folks. So if you're wanting to connect a bunch of folks within one location to another location, then a point-to-point VPN router-to-router is the preferred method, right? So if you've got four people in your home and you all want to connect to an office that's got 30 people, you would connect with a VPN tunnel, it's called, a point-to-point tunnel, allowing those five people to access the main location.
No, we don't have to do anything that complicated. It's just for security, I'm just thinking.
Okay. Then you would want to configure a VPN to be utilized when you choose to use it. So you would click on the VPN if you want to go browsing,
right?
When you want to use it more securely, and then you don't use it when you don't want to do it more securely. I don't think I would configure it on the router.
If you configure it through your router, does it provide protection wirelessly, not just hooked up to the wire?
It would. So if you're going to use a VPN service, you configure that through your router to the VPN service. Then any surfing you do will be done through that VPN tunnel, any connectivity you do. And that can really slow you down, though. A VPN will slow you down.
Okay. So if I just want to do any secure banking or anything, I could just do it off the one desktop. Just
correct.
Activate the VPN down there, yeah.
That's what I'd recommend you do, yeah.
Okay. That's what I've tried. But I was just in the router setting the other day, and I saw a VPN setting. I was like...
Yeah, more likely than not, that's being used for a point-to-point tunnel rather than what you're considering doing.
Okay, the other question was, I'm having trouble logging on to my router from the desktop only. If I do it, you know, when you punch in router login or 192.168, it just keeps blocking it. I've disabled the firewall. It's just nothing seems to be working. From the desktop only. I can do it from a laptop or an iPad.
So it sounds to me like your desktop is not on the same IP scheme as the rest of your system. That's the answer I'd give you. I'm sure that it is, though. So if you're trying to access the router through the VPN, if you've got that enabled and you type in that 192.168, you're going to have a problem.
No, I don't have the... VPN enabled right now.
Okay. So if you go to a command prompt, CMD, if you type in CMD in the bottom left-hand corner of the type search here box you get with Windows 10, and you're going to get to a command prompt, you want to type the word ping, P-I-N-G space, and then the IP address of the router to see if you get a response.
Okay.
I suspect you will, but I'm just curious as to what's going on. I want to make sure you're on the same... network as your router is, because if you go into the browser and put that browser, the IP address in the browser, it should take you to the router's main page, right, Bob?
Login page.
Yeah,
the login page. Okay, I just pinged it. It says ping 192.168. It says general failure.
General failure is not a good response. So
type in ipconfig in the command prompt.
So what it's telling me is you're not seeing your own router.
Okay.
So ipconfig will tell you what the IP address
of your computer
is.
Okay, right next to that, in that same spot there on the command prompt?
Yeah, just type in ipconfig. And what we're trying to see is, you know, if your router, let's say, is 192.168.1.1.
Yeah.
And your computer is 192.168.4.32. Well, you're on a different network.
Yeah, it is. It's 1.3 opposed to 1.1 I've been doing this whole time.
No, that's okay. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. So your computer is 1.3?
Yeah, the IPv4 address is 1.3, yeah.
So 192.168.1.3?
Right.
Okay, and you think... So here, this tells me something else.
So what's the gateway?
Yeah, what's your
gateway? The gateway is 1.1.
Can you ping 1.1?
He can't. That was his first failure. Right?
Yeah. I kept doing, 192.168.1.1, yeah. It keeps... I've done it in Chrome, both of the Internet Explorer browsers.
Well, if you can't ping it, you're not going to get there.
Yeah, if you can't ping it, you won't get there with any browser.
Right. So the IP address, V4, is that my... Or is it the default gateway? That's the router.
The default gateway is your router. Your address is your address given to you by the router. But you, and so it's speaking to you, but you can't ping out to it.
Right.
What have you done to your computer?
So, wait, I would maybe reboot the router.
Reboot the router, but he can get there from a laptop. You can get there from a different device, right?
I can get there from my iPad, yeah. That's the funny thing is, yeah. We did do some, but even before I had this problem, we did have to reconfigure the Netgear router with some help from India.
I think you might have made an error.
Think so? No, well, actually, I couldn't get in beforehand anyways.
Oh, you couldn't?
Yeah, on the desktop. Yeah, I know. Years ago, I could, but now I can't.
Like, why would that be the case? I don't know.
All it comes up, it says your antivirus or your thing is blocking you, firewall. So I disable it for 15 minutes. I try to get in that way. It still doesn't let me in.
So you could have a security tool that is blocking you. So don't do anything with your firewall because it's working for other devices, but it does seem like you've got a security tool that's blocking you. And I can't think what it is. I assume you're turning off your antivirus. You've turned off your firewall, like you said, in the beginning of the call,
right.
Something is blocking. So what you're going to have to spend some time doing is trying to figure out what could block that router, knowing the security tools you have. So you'd have to say, does Norton block access to X firewall?
You could try disabling your NIC and then re-enabling it and see if that works.
Your NIC is your network interface card.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we're coming against a hard stop here. We hope we give you some ideas to try, but it does look like you've got something misconfigured on your system.
Okay. Well, it gives me a little bit of to go after. All right, thanks, guys. Have a good afternoon.
You too, sir. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning, Labor Day weekend. Hope you guys have a great weekend coming up. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. I want to thank Joe back in the studio there in Farmington. We're here in the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford. And what's the line, Bob?
We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.